بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Most respected elders and friends, all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah, we shall discuss three issues. The first, the concept of slavery in Islam, and within that, the concept of birth control and related issues. The second topic is about the sale of carrion, an animal that dies a natural death, it's impure, the sale of a carrion, and the sale of idols. And the third discussion will be about the sale or the purchase and sale of dogs and dealing in dogs. On the first issue of slavery, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah is discussing Islamic finance, business, economics, and then he discusses about the sale of slaves. Slavery was existing in the pre-Islamic era, in the time of Jahiliyyah. Islam recognized slavery, did not abolish it immediately, recognized it, but modified it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had emphasized on the rights of slaves, how we should deal with slaves, and how Shariat has used various avenues of freeing slaves and encouraged people to free slaves. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala who says, كان آخر كلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, one of the last statements of Nabiya Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم before leaving the world, الصلاه الصلاه. He emphasized on performing salah. Don't miss out any salah. The most important aspect of your life is salah. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, ittaqullah fima malakat aymanukum. Fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala regarding your slaves. That which your right hand possesses, that is your slaves. One can imagine, 23 years of nubuwat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the last advice that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives about fulfilling the rights of slaves and taking care of the slaves, that shows how important is this aspect of taking care and looking after our slaves. One tabi'i, he says he met Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala in Rabada. Rabada is the name of a place just out of Madinatul Munawwara. Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala lived there. So he observed the slave of Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala and Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala, both of them sharing one set of clothing. One part of the clothing was on Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala and another part of the clothing was on the slave. So the person told to Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, why don't you take that piece of cloth that's on the slave, make it a full set for yourself and give your slave something else to wear. Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala did explain to the person why he conducted himself with a slave like that. See, in the time, at the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I verbally abused one sahabi. Referring to Hadha Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hadha Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a dark skinned person. So on one occasion, Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu made a statement and told him, Yabna Sauda, O son of a dark skinned woman. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is making these kind of statements. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, such a great illustrious sahabi, greater amount of zuhud and taqwa in him. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned him and told him, innaka imru'un fika jahiliyah. You are a person that you still got the smell, you got the effect of jahiliyat in you. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that these people that are your slaves, they are your brothers. Treat them like your brothers. How you would treat your brother, you treat your slave also in the same way. In one hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentioned that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he complained about his slave. And he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kam na'fu an khadim. I've got a slave, he serves me, but all the time he makes mistakes. How much must I forgive him? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, forgive him 70 times a day. Overlook him, tolerate him. One sahabi, Abu Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says he had a slave, and one day he was physically assaulting his slave. The slave must have did something wrong, and Abu Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala was physically assaulting him. Then he heard a voice from the back telling him, Ya Abu Mas'ud, lallahu aqdara alayka minka alay. O Abu Mas'ud, as much as you have control over this slave of yours, Allah has greater control over you. He said, I looked back, I realized it was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I freed this slave. On one occasion, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala freed a slave. He had a stick in his hand and he was scratching the ground. And Abdullah ibn Umar mentioned, by me freeing the slave, I don't expect any ajar and reward. The reason for that is, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, if any one of you clouted your slave, then the compensation for that is to free the slave. So much of emphasis in Shariat on treating slaves. And besides that, Shariat has created so many avenues to free slaves as well. Every human being that comes in the world, he come naturally to be a free person, not to be a slave. And Shariat redirects human being to be a free person. So if any person was a slave, Shariat has created avenues for the person to be freed. If a person has taken an oath in the name of Allah, and one of the compensations, one of the kafara for that is to free slaves. If a person has committed a murder, depending different type of murder, not a deliberate murder, a murder by mistake, one of the compensations for that is to free a slave. If a person has done the act of zihar, where a person tells to his wife, you are to me like your mother. It was regarded to be a divorce in the time of Jahiliyyah. But if anybody happened to practice that, the compensation for that is to free a slave. Likewise, Shariat has also recognized certain type of contractual agreement with slaves to free slaves. For example, if a person has a slave, he could enter into the contract of mukataba with the slave. He would tell the slave, you pay me an X amount of money, you will get your freedom. Or, if a person happened to tell to his slave that, you are a free person upon my death. That is called a mudabbar slave. Such a slave cannot be sold to someone else. Or, if a person got a female slave and he had a conjugal relationship with her and she bore his child, she is now an umme walad. And in terms of Sharia, now she is entitled to freedom. So these are different types of concepts of slavery in Shariat, where Shariat opened up many avenues for a person to free his slave. Now, here is a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that bainama huwa jalis inna Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were seated by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah, inna nusibu sabyan, fa nuhibbu al-athman. When Khaybar was conquered, this was the area where the Jews were living. In the 7th year after Hijrat, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam launched an attack on them, and many women were taken as female slaves. And they were distributed to the Sahaba. So the Sahaba then told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we got these female slaves, we wish to sell them. And we want to get some money out of it, from the proceeds of the sale. But the problem is that فَكَيْفَ تَرَى فِي الْعَزْلِ Before selling these slaves, they are our slaves, we are allowed to sleep with them, we are allowed to fulfill our passion and our desires with them. Now, if we have a relationship with them, and if they conceive, now they become Umme Walad. You cannot sell them. So we will not be able to sell them. So is it permissible for us to practice Azal? Azal is that during an intimate relationship, the person does not ejaculate in the womb. He ejaculates outside. So can we practice this? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to them, "Awa innakum taf'aluna dhalik?" Do you people really do that during intimate relationship? Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned one thing, that la alaykum alla taf'alu. The meaning of it is, there's no problem in doing that. If you are doing that, if you are having an intimate relationship and you are not ejaculating in the womb of the woman, then that is permissible. But remember, by you doing that, do not ever think that that you'll be avoiding the child coming into being. Nabi Kareem Sasa further mentioned, فَإِنَّهَا لَيْسَدْ نَسَمَةٌ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ أَنْ تَخْرُجْ إِلَّا وَهِيَ خَارِجًا That there's not a single soul that Almighty Allah Tabaraka Wa Ta'ala decreed for it to come into the world, but the soul will definitely come into the world. In other words, that when Almighty Allah Tabaraka Wa Ta'ala decreed the creation of a child will definitely come into existence, and by you adopting any means for the woman not becoming conceived, as a means that is as confined to the means, but it will not override the power and the decree of Almighty Allah Tabaraka Wa Ta'ala for a child coming into the world. Now from this we also understand the concept of birth control. If a person, a married person, free person, he wants to have intercourse with his wife and he does not want to ejaculate in her, then the consent and the permission of the wife is required. Because as much as intercourse is the right of the husband, it's also the right of the wife. If it's a female slave, then the consent of the female slave is not required. From this, the concept of birth control is also understood. Birth control, the concept of birth control is against the spirit of Islam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have mentioned, Tazawwajul wadud al-walud. Get married to women that are very loving and that can give as many children as possible. فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمْ الْأُمَمْ On the day of Qiyamah, I'll be proud with a large following of my ummah. However, if a person, for some reason, wishes to practice birth control, sometimes for health-related reasons, etc., one should not practice birth control for poverty-related reasons. A person doesn't want to have a child because he fears that he will not be able to support the child. This concept is wrong, and Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala condemns that in the Quran Kareem. It is our aqidah, it is our belief that Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wa Razik, Allah created the child from non-existence to existence, so what is difficult for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to provide sustenance for the child? In this world, the father or whoever is responsible, they adopt means, but the rozi comes from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it doesn't come from us. We adopt means, but the effect in our means is only with the order of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The second discussion for tonight, Babu Bay'il Maytati wal Asnam. In this, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah speaks about the sale of a carrion and the sale of idols. Carrion means animal that died a natural death. We discussed it before, when an animal dies a natural death, the animal is impure. It is najis. Anything that is impure, anything that is najis, impure, you cannot sell it. The proceeds of that will also be not permissible. And asnam refers to idols. If anything is pure, obviously to carve idols is haram. It goes against the concept of Tawheed. And to sell that also, anything relating to worship of non-Muslims, that is also not permissible. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi quotes a hadith. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, أَنَّهُ سَمِعَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ يَقُولَ عَامَ الْفَتْحَ وَهُوَ بِمَكَّةِ Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned during the conquest of Makkah al-Mukarramah, when Makkah al-Mukarramah was conquered, he was in Makkah al-Mukarramah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned four things. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ حَرَّمَ بَيْعَ الْخَمْرِ Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited the sale of wine, intoxicants. All intoxicants is haram. Intoxicants were made haram before. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated it during the conquest of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Wal-Maita, the sale of a Maita. Animal that died a natural death, it is impure, it is not permissible to sell it. Yes, of course, we discussed before that the skin of that animal could be removed and the skin could be tanned and it can be sold, it can be used. Wal-Khinzir, the sale of a swine, that is haram. To eat it is also haram. Sale of it is also haram. Wal-Asnam. And the sale of idols is also haram. Obviously, it goes against the very concept of Tawheed. فَقِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَرَأَيْتَ الشُّحُومَ الْمَيْتَةِ فَإِنَّهَا تُطْلَى بِهَا السُّفُنْ وَتُدَّهَنْ بِهَا الْجُلُودِ وَيَسْتَصْبِحْ بِهَا النَّاسِ When Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that carrion is haram, so Sahaba asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell us about the fat of a carrion. Animal death, a natural death, what about the fat itself? And then they explained the reason to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the fat of a carrion, it is used to paint or to mold a boat. When a person, a boat, it goes, or a ship, it travels from one place to another place. When it comes back, and because of that salt, there's a possibility that holes, etc. will come in, the fat is used to cover it and to paint it. وَتُدَّهَمْ بِهَا الْجُلُودِ And with the fat, sometimes you use it to moisturize your skin. And وَيَسْتَصْبِحَ بِهَا النَّاسِ At that time, it wasn't time of electricity. They used to use that fat to use it for burning fire. So, فَقَالْ Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned, لَا هُوَ haram. It is completely haram. Now from this we understand, if there's anything that has a singular purpose and it is only haram, you cannot use it. Anything that has a jewel of multiple purposes, some of it is permissible, some of it is not permissible, then it is permissible to sell it, the proceeds of that will be permissible. On condition, there is no clear hadith that prohibits it, like in the case of fat. Fat is clearly haram, fat of an animal that died a natural death. That animal is haram, the fat of that animal is also haram. So, day after Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, قَاتَلَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودِ May Allah destroy the Yahud. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَّا حَرَّمَ شُحُومَهَا أَجْمَلُوهُ ثُمَّ بَاعُوهُ The Jews, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala prohibited fat for them. For us, the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, fat is permissible. But for the Jews, although they would have slaughtered the animal according to the rites of the Sharia, but for them, fat was haram. So what they used to do, they tried to defeat the purpose of Sharia, the objective of Sharia. Almighty Allah made fat haram upon them. They used to melt it and then they used to sell it. And then the sale of that, they should benefit from the proceed of the sale. So somebody used to tell them, why are you doing that? Why are you selling fat? They were not selling fat, we're selling oil. But they should melt that oil, the fat, and they should sell it in the form of oil. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah speaks about this. This is also haram. The last topic for today, Babu Thamanil Kalb. In this, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah presents two hadiths, and in one hadith, the last hadith, Imam Bukhari mentions six things that are haram and that are prohibited. But very briefly on the issue of dogs, you get different type of dogs. The type of dog that is haram in Shariat is a pet dog, which in the time of Jahiliyyah, people used to stay very closely with dogs and they used to associate themselves with dogs, like how you would see non-Muslims conduct themselves today. So this was the condition in the time of Jahiliyyah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to break that custom from them. But besides the pet dog, there's so many other type of dogs. There's dog for hunting purposes, dog for security purposes, a guide dog, sniff dog, a dog for farming purposes. All other dogs besides a pet dog is permissible. And pet dog is haram. Likewise, any type of dealing of a pet dog will also be haram. But all other dogs, whether it is a dog for hunting purposes, dog for security purposes, a blind person sometimes requires a dog for guiding purposes. Those kind of dogs, the breeding such kind of dogs and transacting in those kind of dogs is permissible. The proceeds of such dogs will also be permissible. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, he presents a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Aun ibn Abi Juhayfa, he says, Ra'aytu Abi ishtara hajjaman. I saw my father, he purchased a slave that does cupping. Cupping refers to removing the bad, dirty blood from the body. So, فَأَمَرَ بِمَحَاجِمِهِ فَكُسِرَتْ. So my father told, take all the instrument of cupping and break it. فَسَأَلْتُهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. So I asked my father, why is that so? Now we know cupping is permissible. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also did cupping. But dealing with blood, etc., Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam discouraged it. And according to this sahabi, he thought it was prohibited. Nevertheless, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned six things. إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَهَا أَنْ ثَمَنِ الدَّمْ. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prohibited from the money of blood. In other words, if anybody has to do cupping and to earn money through that cupping, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prohibited from that. Sahabi took it the literal sense, whereas Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself did cupping and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave Abu Tayyibah money for doing cupping. But it is not the best of the professions and skills. وَثَمَنِ الْقَلْبِ Nabi, the second thing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prohibited was the proceeds of the sale of a dog. As mentioned, this refers to a pet dog. Not all other dogs which Shariat permit the dealing in such dog will be permissible. Third, kasbil amat, the earning of a female slave. In the time of Jahiliyyah, if a master had a female slave, he would send her out to go sell her body and to earn income through that. In other words, that sell her body and earn money, that haram, immoral act. Wala'an al-washima wal-mustawshima. The fourth is, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has cursed the person that does tattooing and the person that seeks the practice of tattooing. Tattooing is haram. This was something common in the time of Jahiliyyah. The fifth, وَآكِلَ الرِّبَ وَمُوكِلَهُ. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prohibited consuming riba and the person that takes riba and the person that pays riba. We discussed this many, many times. It is completely haram. And that forms the core of conventional finance. And in Islam, this is completely haram. It is prohibited. And the last thing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prohibited in this hadith, وَلَعَنَ الْمُصَوِّرِ, that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have cursed the person that draws pictures. And we discussed the issue of pictures, all forms of picture making, etc., digital photography, etc. We have discussed it in the previous discourse. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has cursed from that. This is the last discourse, or the last part of Islamic finance, business and economic Kitabul Buyu. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi very amazingly, he concludes this chapter of Islamic finance and economics by discussing the proceeds of the sale of a dog. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi was known for his deep thoughts, and there must be a reason why he has addressed the sale of the proceeds of the dog in the last chapter on Islamic finance and economics. Say the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ad-dunya jifa wa talibuha kilab. This world is a carrion. This entire world, this materialistic world, the glamours of the world, everything of the world is just like a carrion. Wa talibuha kilab, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and the seeker of the world, the person who engrossed himself, he get lost, he become unmindful, become ghafil in the obligation of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in seeking the world. Nabi Kareem has referred to such people as dogs. The reason for that is, from all animals, the most greediest animal is a dog. Every other animal, it will eat the meat. A dog will eat the meat and the bone. And from among the creatures, the most greediest creature is a fly. If a person got a sore somewhere on the hand, the fly won't go sit anywhere else, it'll go sit right on the sore. And the most content creature is the spider. It'll make a spider web and it'll remain confined within its web. It won't go beyond that web. And it is because of the contentment of the spider and the greediness of the fly, Allah has made the spider's web a trap for the fly. And it is from this we learn a lesson that when a person is very, very greedy, he could get trapped very, very easily. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about a dog in the Quran Kareem, Kalbe Muallam, a trained dog. The dog is haram, the dog is impure. The dog is regarded to be the most greediest of animals. But with all that, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about how if a person happens to train a dog and use a dog for hunting purposes, if that dog, once it is trained, if it hunts an animal, that animal will become halal. This point for us to consider. Dog is impure. The saliva of the dog is impure. The meat of the dog is impure. The dog is regarded to be the most greediest of animals. But with all that, if such an animal that is so greedy, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, the seeker of this world is like a dog. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that, imagine if a dog is so greedy, the master sent it to go and attack that animal. It desires to eat that meat, but it exercises restraint. It's trained now, it likes to eat the meat is attractive to it, but it will probably drink the blood, but it won't eat the meat because it's trained like that. There's a level of taqwa comes in the dog. When the level of taqwa comes in the dog, and the prey of the dog becomes halal for someone, imagine how much more we should inculcate taqwa within our own selves. The taqwa and the piety. If a dog can have taqwa in it, and the dog is impure, Allah recognizes the prey of the dog, imagine why would it not be possible for us to inculcate taqwa and piety in us. And that is why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us this dua. Allahumma aslih sha'ani kullah. Oh Allah, make islah of everything of ours. وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي تَرْفَ وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي تَرْفَةَ أَيْنِ. Oh Allah, do not hand my nafs over to myself even for a twinkle of an eye. I've got my nafs, I've got my desire. In takilni ila nafsi, takilni ila zu'fin wa dhambin wa awra wa khatiya. Allah, if you hand over my nafs to myself for a twinkle of an eye, you'll be handed over to a person that's completely weak. I'll commit guna, I'll commit sins. And that is why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us a dua, Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha. Allah, create taqwa in me. Dog got taqwa, Allah recognizes the taqwa of the dog and the prey of the dog become halal. So we also should make dua, Allah put taqwa and piety in us. اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها وزكيها. Allah purify my soul. أنت خير من زكاها. Allah, you are the best one to purify. We make dua. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant every one of us taqwa, piety, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant every one of us the ability to understand issues of Islamic finance, business, economics, and bring taqwa and piety in our lives. And Allah grant every one of us halal, tayyib, rizq. In conclusion,